Welcome to the Partnership Podcast. Today we're getting another funeral director's view on the different ways he speaks to his community and how building a local reputation and a strong brand can impact your day-to-day work, your funeral planning business, and your ability to be there for your families. So I'd like to welcome Callum Ross of Moray's Tom Ross & Sons. So, Callum, very nice to see you. Welcome. Just remind us, I know you're in a beautiful part of the world. Where exactly are you?
So we're in the, first and foremost, thanks for having me on the podcast. I've listened to the podcast since its launch, so it's great to be invited on here. We're in the north of Scotland, about 25 miles east of Inverness. We have a business in Forres, which is on the edge of Moray, and then 10 miles west of that, so just 15 miles east of Inverness, we have a branch in Nairn, which is called David Ellen Funeral Directors, and that's a wee coastal town. So yeah, so it's a good part of the world, absolutely.
Right. Now, as we speak, I'm in Bromsgrove, Birmingham, so I reckon I'm about, 450 miles or so away from you today. But hey, we won't let that get in the way of this chat. Okay, look, Callum, so first, we'd like to kind of understand your specific business. So for the benefit of the listeners, can you talk us through Tom Ross & Sons' history in Moray and your part in that history up to this point?
Okay, yeah, certainly. The business was started in Forres in the early 80s by my grandfather, and my father shortly joined the business after that. They then bought the Nairn branch that I was just talking about, David Ellen Funeral Directors, from David Ellen, and that was in the late 80s, I think it was 89. So in that time, my grandfather ran the Forres branch while my father ran the Nairn branch until the time my grandfather retired. I think that was about 2002. I joined the business in 2004, working in school holidays and things. I was just 14 at that stage. So at the end of my schooling, I took a year out, which proved to be a huge blessing in that I did that for a year, went to university. 2 years later, my father died suddenly. So I kind of had to take over the running of the business at the tender age of 21. So it was a terrible time, and through terrible circumstances, I was offered what was a wonderful opportunity, you know, and I know the one thing my father would have wanted was for the business to continue, you know. So with my grandfather, though retired, I mean, he's still a ear to sound off to, you know, and listen to your, I mean, he's done it for many years before I did. So he supports me through it along with great staff. But the last 11 years have had many ups and downs, but I love what I do, and it's an extremely rewarding career. And to be honest, being a funeral director is, I always think I compare it to farmers, you know, when farmers, when you speak to them, they always say it's in their blood, you know, it's part of who they are, you know, and I feel like that about funeral directing. People might find that maybe quite strange, but as I say, it's a huge part of who I am. So I love what I do and I would never change it.
That's a lovely summary. Thank you. I can hear the passion coming through. Okay. Broadly speaking, how do you promote who you are locally, and so that a person in your community understands your brand? How do you build that reputation, Callum?
Well, I think first and foremost, by always conducting funerals to the best of your ability, that's the best advertisement you can ever give yourself. Every person attending a funeral will one day need a funeral director themselves. So in a way, you're always auditioning to your future clientele every funeral you do, and you can't ever forget that. Beyond that, I think it's important to support your local community, whether sponsoring local events or just helping out where you can. As a small local business, if you want your community to keep supporting you, you have to keep supporting them too. And I think it's definitely a two-way street.
So looking specifically at funeral planning now, how is the marketing of plans important to you, and how do you get your pre-need offering across to your families?
So I think for me, it has to be about balance. We try and make potential clients know what we can offer to them but in a way that we feel isn't overpowering and intrusive. I think it's a lot about understanding your own local area. For example, a funeral director doing a leaflet drop every 3 months in a city might well be very successful. I know if I did that in our community, it's not going to work. You know, you're gonna upset a few people, you know. I mean, you'll never please everybody no matter what you do, but I think you have to find that balance. We do a leaflet drop once a year in each of our towns, and we feel that works for us. But I think Facebook is also a really great tool, and I think that's going to be the tool of the future. You know, I mean, we're already seeing it. I mean, we do short videos that talks to clients just gives them an idea of who we are and what we're about. And I think for me, it's about letting clients know who you are before they've met you. You know, and yeah, that's I think the future of how we're gonna see more growth in attracting clients to looking up funeral plans, you know.
Sure, and I guess you need to keep that up, and it's your best judgment as how frequently you do it. But of course, there is still competition, isn't there? So I guess you're wary of whether it's online competition from some of the bigger players, or possibly just local competitors, but that keeps your brand front of mind, doesn't it?
Absolutely, and I think this is always where you have to find the balance. I mean, I know some smaller funeral directors that choose not to advertise because they say, well, if people want a funeral plan, they'll come and get it from me, you know. But I also feel, especially in the day of now, I mean, we've never seen funeral plans be so more heavily advertised, and they're coming from all angles. If you don't at least make clients aware that this is something that you do, they might else go elsewhere, you know. And I had it, I mean, not so long ago, somebody that knew me personally, and they went and bought a funeral plan online. And their reasoning for it was they didn't want to bother me. You know, they thought, this is, I know you were too busy, you know. Yeah. And so you're never going to win every time, you know, but I think it's trying to make people aware as much as you can without, as I say, overpowering on people.
Got it. Thanks, Callum. Now, is there anything you're doing differently right now with regulation approaching? And more broadly, what's your view of regulation as it stands?
So I don't think there's not much we should really be doing differently. I think Golden Charter have been doing things the right way long before regulation. So there isn't a need to change things up much. Obviously, we're going to go to these paperless applications shortly and things. I think that's the main one. But other than that, I don't think there isn't a huge need. I mean, I know Nico, who's our regional manager, I mean, he's been a great support, but he's kind of went through to dot the I's and cross the T's kind of thing, just to make sure we're doing things correctly and above board. But as I say, I think Golden Charter has been doing things the right way. And I think it's a testament to Golden Charter and their sellers, how they've been doing things up to now. And I think regulation is going to help eradicate malpractice, which I'm making sure that everybody that has a funeral plan is protected. Again, in answer to should we be pressing on with marketing, I don't think there's been a better time to sell funeral plans. We all know that there's companies out there that have been doing things with the sole purpose to line their own pockets. And it's not been about clients or funeral directors, you know, it's been about themselves, you know, and we're already seeing some of them bow out as it stands. But we know what Golden Charter stands for. It's always been about providing funeral plans which are beneficial for clients and funeral directors in a time where we're seeing these people bow out and disappear. I think this is an opportunity to say to people, this is, you've come to the right place to get a funeral plan, and you can sell a plan with confidence. Because again, we're in the past few months of the plans we've sold, it's a comment that people make, you know, is this safe? we've seen articles in the paper or we've heard it on the radio, you know, and it's worked in our favour. I sold a plan just yesterday and the lady said, she says, I've come to you because I know you've been in our local area since I can ever remember. She said, so I know that you're not going to pull the wool over my eyes here. It's a good time for funeral directors. And I think that's why regulation is good, because if you're doing things in the right way, we're getting rid of the cowboys of the industry and leaving it for the right people to do the right thing and sell a plan honestly and with the right intentions.
Spot on. Thanks, Callum. Now, you touched on digital. So what's your view about the use of digital technology in your business and how does it help broadly going forward?
Technology, I think you have to embrace it. The world is now online. And if you don't keep up, you risk of being left behind. I mean, through the pandemic, I think the one that people talk about is the need to be able to live stream. And it's almost a necessity for any funeral director to offer now. But in terms of funeral planning, I think you will see more and more people turn to buy funeral plans online. Again, we see it, the next generation of people do everything online. They watch TV, they browse, every aspect of their life involves online in some way, shape or form. And people want to do things hassle-free. Some people will always want to come in and see a funeral director, but I think most people will start just buying things online as long as they know they're comfortable and that they've got the product that they want. So I think it's going to be important for us to be able to sell funeral plans directly on our own website rather than just on Golden Charter's website. I think that's going to be the next step to keeping up with competition. But technology, it comes with its own challenges for small business. But I think the pros certainly outweigh the cons, you know, and you have to deal with those moments of challenge, you know. Again, going back, I mean, Facebook is part of the future, you know, I believe. I mean, again, we do a bit of advertising on Facebook now. We still advertise in local papers and things, but I think the most important place to advertise now is online. Again, having a good website is very important as well. It's your online shop window, and it's where a lot of your clients will make that decision whether to come to you or go to a competitor.
Gotcha. Thank you. Now, look, finally, you touched on next generation and you're a young man. In fact, I think you're half my age, actually. So, look, we've been talking about maintaining and growing your business. So what ambitions do you have for your business, say, over the next 10 years? What sort of things do you look for in the next decade that are an opportunity for you? Put it that way.
So, I mean, we're actually in the process of building. We've a funeral home here in Forres, which has a chapel that seats about 200 people. We're replicating that in Nairn just now. So that's in the development. We bought a building just last year and we should open the first phase of it without the extension that will go on thereafter. That should open in the next couple of months. So that's a big step for us. But as time goes on, I mean, I'm a funeral director before I'm a businessman every day of the week. And if somebody came to me and said, Callum, you can do this business at this level for the rest of your career, I'd be quite happy at that, you know. But I think you have to keep moving forward just to stand still. And over the course of my career, there's going to be threats, there's going to be challenges, and we just need to address those as they come, you know, and if the right opportunities come up, we'll take them. But again, there's going to be more competition as things go on. We're seeing the rise of direct cremation. But the thing I always come back to is if we keep doing a job to the best of our ability, okay, you've got to keep not a close eye, but you have to watch what competitors are doing. But that can't be your focus. Your focus has to be about what you're doing, not what your competitors are doing. And if we keep doing a good job with the right attitude and doing things to the best of our ability, people will keep coming. I've always kind of believed that. I don't know where we'll be in 10 years, but if somebody said to me, you'll still be here doing the same level of business, I'd be quite happy with that. But if there is the opportunities to grow, I think we would take them.
Excellent. Well, on that note, look, I wish you luck, or I don't think you'll have any problem over the next 10 years. It sounds like you're running a fine business already. But Callum, thank you for your time today on the podcast. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Partnership Podcast. If you have any questions or suggestions for the podcast or want to get involved, you can contact me at malcolm.flanders@goldencharter.co.uk. Our full catalogue of 40 episodes is available at goldencharter.buzzsprout.com or on a range of podcast apps. You can hear more about FCA regulation in multiple episodes, including our mini-series from the end of 2021. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you next time on the Partnership Podcast.